If I'm totally honest with you today, this has been a really hard week for me feeling my sermon. Not really because of the loss that I've gone through personally, but because the world lost three of the most God-loving, God-serving people, God-trusting people I've ever met in my life. I don't mean for this to be a service about them. I've been to enough services this weekend, but I couldn't help but think about what a loss to this world and the work of God. What a loss happened this week. Peggy Gregory is one of my mom's closest friends. Many of you know that. She died just 2 weeks shy of her 95th birthday. Peggy was scheduled to pray on Sunday morning at their woman's worship, which for my mother's church is the only time a woman's going to be saying a prayer in that pulpit on Woman's Sunday. And as the ambulance arrived at Peggy's house on Saturday morning, because she was feeling short of breath and not doing well, the ambulance guys put her on a stretcher and were rolling her out into the ambulance, and she yelled, "Stop!" And they stopped, and she said, "I can't go." And they said, "Miss Gregory, you have to go to the hospital." She said, "I have to pray in church on Sunday. I cannot go." Peggy volunteered twice a week at the hospital. She drove everywhere. She traveled. But most importantly, every person that she ever met knew that she was a child of God. They also knew of her love for them because she shared it with every person she met. I never, ever heard her say a cross word about anyone. Dr. Jean Garrison lived and breathed the scripture. I don't know if there will ever be another person that I will know or have known who knew this scripture better. He could teach it better, he could bring it alive better, and he could live it better than any person I've ever met. His faith was as strong as they come. He believed in a God who sent his son to this world to love everyone. And 38 years ago, when a young woman was ready to walk out of church because of the way people were treating one another, especially Baptist churches, he took that girl and he showed her that God was love. That Christ walked this earth to show that love to us. And he showed me the importance of coming together as Christians in a community and worshiping together. And then Landy. Some of you know Landy fairly well. Others just saw this quiet man that sat right back there. Quiet, thoughtful man who was a retired Methodist minister who loved God and loved talking about God with others. He again lived the life of sharing his faith, not just from the pulpit, but with the world that he lived in. Now again, I'm not mentioning these three because I want this service to be about their loss. They wouldn't want that. But I mention these three because it's been weighing heavy on me that we've gotten to a place in the church where, and in our society, where we don't want to talk about Jesus in our lives. And I'm talking about the Big C church all across the world. We don't want to talk about Jesus outside of these walls. We want to come to church on Sunday and talk about God and Jesus and how good we're all doing. And then we want to go out into our lives and hope that people see God in us. Hope that people see God in us. I told Roy this morning, he said, "What are you going to preach on today?" And I said, "Well, evangelism." He said, "You're not going to use that word, are you?" And I said, "No." And then I just used it. But that word evangelism, it kind of makes us scooch down in the pew and cover our eyes and think to ourselves, "Not me." So please don't tune me out. Forgive me if I'm stepping on toes, but read this scripture that we read today. It's not on the screen anymore, but think about what it says. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. What happens to that fruit that is ripe that no one picks? It spoils. It spoils either on the vine or off the vine or on the tree or off the tree. It might be eaten by birds or insects or squirrels, but it's not picked and brought in and used. Man, I can remember as a little girl that we would go away for some reason for a week, maybe camp or Gloriette or somewhere, and we would return, and sure enough, some of Dad's garden would have just been ruined. Because he wasn't there to pick it, or it didn't get enough water, or it rained too much. And it would just kill him because we used every bit of what he grew. We were a big family, and it helped us get through the year. And what we didn't eat right then, he canned, and we ate through the year. So it would kill my dad for fruits or vegetables to spoil. Now, I know why we moved away from the evangelical side of church. We moved away because people were making it about winning souls and numbers and not loving people and relationships. We began to be afraid that we were scaring people away rather than drawing us in. And so, like we do with so many other things, the pendulum swung, and it swung all the way to the other direction. And we went the total opposite, and we went from knocking on doors and sharing the four spiritual laws to not sharing ourselves at all. I remember the joke when I was a youth because, you know, we went out witnessing one night a week, and afterwards, we'd go to the restaurant, and the joke was always, someone would say, "Is this chair saved?" And you'd say, "No, but it's under conviction." Because if you were sharing your faith, then every person you talked to either had gotten saved or they were under conviction. And then you moved on to the next person. Now, it's hard to read this scripture. I know it's hard. I think to myself, okay, take nothing with me, no money, no clothes, no food, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out the demons. Okay, I can't do that. Okay, to be honest, I haven't tried, but I really don't feel like it's my spiritual gift. So what does that leave me with? Proclaiming the good news. Proclaiming the good news. We live in a world full of sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus tells his disciples, and you know what? That includes you and me. He tells his disciples, "Go out there and proclaim me." Now, does that mean that we all need to stand on the street corner and yell the good news? No. Does that mean we need to go door to door and witness? Maybe not. Do we all need to be preachers? No. Does that mean that we're responsible to share the love of Jesus with the people we know in this world, the people that we spend our days with, the people whom we share life with? Yes, it does. Does it mean that sometimes we're going to find people in our lives who really don't want to know about Jesus? Absolutely. And what does Jesus say about that? Shake it off. Don't let it upset you. Don't let it hurt your feelings. Don't let it stop you. Don't let it get you down. It doesn't mean that you need to push that person all the time, but it also means you don't stop loving them and caring about them and being in relationship with them. Because that's how they know God in you. Get out there and do the work that needs to be done. And don't be afraid to do it in the name of the one who created us, who redeemed us, who set us free. When I was in a youth choir some 40-ish years ago, we sang a song that I loved. It had a great tune. We always got great compliments when we sang it, but I'm not sure I truly understood what I was singing back then. It's been in my head all this week, and as I've read this scripture over and over and over and thought to myself, what do I hear from this? The song with the simple message kept coming back to me. I am not afraid of the gospel. I think I've lived my life somewhat afraid of the gospel. At least afraid of sharing the gospel. Thank heavens for people in my life who have time and time again reminded me, shown me, even pulled the gospel out of me. Thank heavens for people who have lived their lives not afraid of the gospel. Thank heavens for people who are not afraid to be the gospel to me, who are not afraid to be the gospel to this world. People like Peggy and Dr. Garrison and Landy, and many of you sitting in this room right now, who encourage one another, who support one another, who are great examples of the gospel. May we all stand strong and live the gospel in our lives, not just in this place, but in this world, every moment of our lives. Amen.